Today's gospel is from Mark chapter 4, beginning with verse 26. Jesus also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come. Again, he said, 'What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it?' Well, it is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade." With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. But when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. This is the gospel of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Please have a seat. So a quick question for you. On a scale from 1 to 10, how patient are you? You don't need to raise your hands. I won't make it an embarrassing thing. Patience is one of those things. Well, let's just start with it this way. In the medical realm, being a patient makes a lot of sense. I think the word patient, I'm not sure, but the root word I think is suffering one or something like that. But patient, when you're a patient in the doctor's office, you have to what? Wait. Wait in the waiting room. You wait to get your appointment, first of all, then you wait in the doctor's room, and then you wait for the doctor to come in. So there's a lot of waiting. How patient are you? I think most of us would like to put ourselves in the category of, Lord, could you give me patience, and could you hurry up already, right? I was just in Montana for my mom's 90th birthday party, and I want to thank you all. Many of you sent cards to her, and it was really a delight. And good news for my mom is that she has graduated from hospice. Not in the way typically, yeah, it's good news. Not in the way typically people do, which means she is doing well, she's eating, she's enjoying her life. She's very forgetful, but she's very delightful too. And while I was there, I received not only saw the letters and cards that she got, but my mom and dad saved a bunch of letters and articles and newsletter articles. It was about this big of a stack of things that I had written, things that I had sent her, letters that we had corresponded with. And so I took those home. And it was kind of an interesting journey to walk through, you know, what I read. I did that this weekend. What I wrote to them, or what I'd written in newsletters. And it kind of makes me, I guess, a little nostalgic, but also a sort of, I guess, understanding what Jesus meant when he talks about the seed of the word kind of being buried. And at his time, he's going to spring it forth. When I joined youth ministry, you can't see this picture, but I had a mustache, 24 years old, and that was a fun thing to see. As I was reflecting on my seminary experience, I was actually featured as one on the cover of the magazine, and I shared about how 19 years later, I returned to Luther Seminary. My pastor in grade school, in ninth grade, said, "Jeff, I think you have gifts for ministry." And I'm thinking, I would never want to be doing that, standing in front of people and talking. And here I am, talking in front of people. But I realized that God knew better, and that he took my gifts and my talents and my call, and he gave me what I needed to do to be able to effectively preach the word. And my internship congregation was over 1,000 people worshiping every Sunday. And every time I spoke, I got numerous people that commended me or my wife to tell me that they enjoyed the word I gave them of hope and grace and encouragement. So looking back on those kind of nostalgic things made me think about what this Christian life is about. It's really a long obedience in the same direction, isn't it? It isn't some instantaneous, now I got it, and everything's going to work out just great. It takes patient endurance. To see God's kingdom come is what we hope for, but patience and hope go hand in hand. The kingdom of God, Jesus tells us, is like a seed. And Jesus takes our worried and anxious hearts today and puts them to rest. So my question for you is, would you like a serving of patience with that mustard? You may wonder, what is he talking about? Well, Jesus today teaches two short parables about the kingdom of God, and both are about seeds. First, the growth of the kingdom is like how a seed grows. And then when the seed grows, when the kingdom grows, he teaches a second parable that is when it's a massive shrub that grows from such a small seed, so much so that birds can rest and rest in the branches. So these two parables explain and express a lot about how we experience the kingdom. We have to have patience. And could we have some patience with that mustard? Means we hope that the kingdom will grow and flourish and the birds can come and light in the branches. But that's what the church is doing. Waiting is hard. I want to ask you, how long have you been waiting on the Lord to do something? Long time. Maybe it's praying for an estranged child, or maybe it's praying for a disease, or maybe it's a debilitating effect that you have. Maybe it's just a heartbreak. How long have you been waiting on the Lord to do something? Or are you waiting on someone else to do it? Well, a psalm that's helped me in waiting is this one, Psalm 40. It says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. You see, Jesus takes our worried and anxious hearts and puts them to rest. So let's look at these two parables today. He said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. It's like a man who scatters seed on the ground. So this isn't like planting seeds like how you usually do in a garden where you put a seed down and put a little dirt over it. It's like scattering seeds, like planting grass or wheat as the case is here. So the seeds are scattered. And it says, night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. Now that is really a cool thing to think about. As we think about how the kingdom of God operates. Was it up to this farmer or this guy or this lady who sowed the seed to make it grow? No, he just sit back and wait. It says that the soil then would produce the seed, then the head, then the full kernel, and as soon as it's ripe, then the harvest can begin. They can get to work. So what is our role in this kingdom of God work? Well, it seems here the role is waiting. My father-in-law worked as a depot agent. I guess I'm questioning how well do we wait. So here's an example. My father-in-law worked as a depot agent, and he worked with farmers in North Dakota. Now, if anyone could be prone to worry, it's some farmers. They have a propensity of worrying. And so instead of asking them when they came into the depot or came in to deliver their grain or whatever they were doing, instead of asking them how they're doing today, he would just say, what's your trouble today, Joe? Because that's how it always ended up. There was something wrong. Too much rain, too little rain, not enough sun, it's too dry, it's too hot. So many things. It was always, what's your trouble today? So the kingdom of God is like a seed. And he takes our worried and anxious hearts and he puts them to rest. He's teaching his disciples, as well as us, about patience. It may seem to the disciples that Jesus' ministry is not really getting much going yet. It's chapter 4 of Mark and there hasn't been a lot that's happened. And Jesus reminds them that maybe the fruit is not yet bearing. It's not here yet. It's not time yet. And it reminds us that growth is in God's time, not in ours or not in theirs. He emphasizes the importance of patience. While a farmer these days can cultivate the fields, they can add a fertilizer or stir things up, they can irrigate to make things grow, they really can't make it grow, can they? It has to grow on its own. It can't be forced. And so the disciples, although they would like to see things happening quicker, they can't force it. And the harvest will arrive when it does. It'll be time then for activity. It may be tempting for the disciples to want to force growth. If you watch season 2 of The Chosen yet, it's on the app. It's really interesting how the disciples are anticipating what could happen with Jesus. And things are going very slowly. And they want things to happen faster. But Jesus reminds them that growth can't be coerced. He shows us that the image of this certain harvest from invisible beginnings are promised, and that even though the testimony of the gospel appears insignificant or fruitless, Christians, friends, we should not be discouraged or give up. So that's why I'd like a serving of patience with that mustard, please. He goes on to talk about it this way. He says, "What shall the kingdom of God be compared to? What parable should I describe it? It's like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of seeds. It grows and becomes the largest of plants, which the birds then can rest in its shade." Well, I brought here some mustard seed. We actually got this little vial of spices when we were married. Obviously, we don't use mustard seed. And so I brought it to church because it's a good illustration. Now, it is maybe not the smallest seed, but it certainly is hard to find one. Now, this little mustard seed is used a few times in the parables of Jesus to talk about how faith could be even this small and it could move a mountain. Here, he's talking about this being a potential. You know, the seed in this little seed, I don't think this one would grow because it's been, 30 years of sitting on a shelf. But in the seed is great potential. And that's what Jesus is describing. The seed of his word has such potential to grow in us. And when it does, it grows large. And that is such a great image for the church. As God's people, worship here, as we serve together, as we witness together, that this little seed can become something amazing and significant. It starts out small, but the miracle of growth makes it large. So Jesus is saying a lot about the kingdom here. It takes faithful patience, but we have hope. And that's what this mustard seed is all about. We have a hope for what God would do in our midst. Now, before the pandemic, I was checking, it was last January of 2020, I shared here in church a vision of what it is that we as Shepherd of the Hills can do. And I think I thought it'd be appropriate again to share that today because of this seed illustration. We've been stuck underground for a long time. And it was certainly took us off our mission. But I was here for 1 year and then presented this vision. And then we got shut down for a year. And now we're on the other side of that and want to come back. And I think even though the world has all changed and everything is different around us in many ways, I don't think that our vision needs to change because this vision really models after Jesus' ministry. It's Jesus' model for ministry and discipleship. And it's shaped like a funnel because God grows us deeper. The more we're a part of his kingdom, the more we're growing down into service and faith. Now, Jesus' mission strategy has always been the local church. It's been people. You think about Billy Graham, and as he was alive, he had great success in doing large events for people. And many, many, many people came to faith through those. But if you went to a Billy Graham event and then you went to your church the next Sunday, you might go, hey, where's all the people? And where's all the band? And where's all the musicians? And where's the great speaker? But see, the church, the local church, is the way that God provides mission, because it's just like at a large grocery store or a large supermarket. You have a lot of checkouts, right? And that means the more checkouts, the more customers. So all the churches here in Fountain Hills, here in Phoenix, here in the country, here in the world, are trying to reach people. So a lot of people get reached because there's a lot of churches. And relational evangelism is really the key, I believe. Relational evangelism is talked about at Crecio. It's called make a friend, be a friend, bring your friend to Christ. When someone knows that you care about them, they're more likely to listen to you and trust you. And that is what ministry is all about. You know, so the first layer of this that Jesus reached was the crowd. He ministered to the crowds. He fed 5,000. He fed 4,000. He has 127 references to crowds in the Gospels. So he did a lot of his ministry in large groups. There was a crowd when the men lowered their friend to Jesus to be healed, the paralytic on the mat in Luke 5. There was a crowd around Jesus when the woman touched his robe and was instantly healed. And he said, "Who touched me?" And he fed 5,000, 4,000. And when you teach the crowds, it's great, it's effective. You get a lot of people listening at the same time. But it's also not as effective as being in a smaller group, because you can't ask questions typically. You can't raise your hand and say, "Could you go back to the point you made 3 points ago? Because I didn't quite get it." So a crowd loses its effectiveness when it comes to actually growing as a disciple. But then he also had another group. This was the 72. It says, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of them to every town and place where he was about to go. I would call these the committed. I don't know how many people are here today, but about 72. You're the 72. You're the people that come to worship. You've believed in Christ. You followed, and you're going out even as his missionaries, his witnesses. This is, they went and did ministry. They went and prayed for people. They healed people. And that was the committed. And there's also the 12 that he appointed. There are more than 12 disciples even that followed Jesus around. There are some women and other men. But he appointed 12 and named them as the ones who would spend the most time with him and be taught by him. So they're the disciples. It's like a small group. As it said in our parable today, he couldn't explain the parables to all the crowd, but when the disciples got him alone, he could explain everything to them. So the small group is a valuable part of growing in faith. And a lot of you are in a small group. You can talk to someone. You can pray with them. You can ask a question. That's the importance of small groups. And then there's finally the three, which is Peter, James, and John. At the Mount of Transfiguration, they were there. When Jesus raised the boy from the dead, they were there. These three were the closest friends of Jesus. He spent the most time with them. It's hard to disciple 72 people or even 12 people, but there's three people, that's a good number. So he wants us to be deep. He wants us to abide with him. And in abiding, that's what we've been talking about, is it's Christ's heart for you and me. It's in John 15, to abide in Christ, to know him. So there's a lot of entry points into the church. Sometimes you may come for Easter or Christmas services. You come, maybe that would be like a crowd event. You come for a more of a fellowship event. That'd be in the 72. Or you come for a Bible study. That's the 12. Or you're one-on-one discipling. That's the three. So that is Christ's heart for us, is to grow. And there's three parts of that. It's growing up toward God, up in our relationship with God, growing in to deepen our faith in Christ, and serving and going out. So how does this growth happen? Well, two things, as I've seen it. First, service and mission, and also team ministry. When I served on a support team for a weekend like the Crecio weekend, that's when I actually caught it. I got it. That's when I started to see my faith come alive, because I was not only receiving good things, but I was able to give to others, to pray for others, to help them. And that kind of experience propelled my faith further and faster than other things that I've been a part of. Marlon Kay lived on a busy highway, and even in his 80s, he would take 2 to 3 to 4 mile walks almost every day. He's a member of my church in Whitefish. And one thing he did all the time when he was walking is he saw a lot of trash on the byways and the roads. And he would bring a trash bag and he would pick up trash as he walked. Now, no one probably ever really noticed that. He certainly wasn't featured in the local paper, but God certainly saw all that he did and saw his care for creation and stewardship and wanting things just to be better, look better. That's service. Service and mission bring us into a deeper relationship with Christ and others. Now, mission can be out of state or out of country, but it can also be right across the street. In fact, that's where we're probably called to serve more effectively. Anything done in Christ's name is mission. So like when we leave church, we could easily say, go out into the mission field, because that is where you're headed. And then the other way we grow is in a team. It's not easy to follow Christ all by yourself, is it? We need other people to surround us and help us and encourage us. One example of a team, well, even just this last Friday, I was invited over to have dinner with some of the Friends Feeding Friends group. Now, if it was just Denny and Gail that did everything, and they cooked, and they served, and they brought it there, they could probably do it, but it wouldn't be very sustainable. But instead, there's a lot of people that help. The Becks help, the Johnsons help, the Dudgeons, Darlene and Jane were all there, and they help serve the homeless every Friday night. A team ministry makes ministry fun and encouraging. And they're talking about how fun it was to have that meal together after they served the homeless every Friday night. Our hope here at Shepherd of the Hills is to spur a connection to the abundant life with spunk and grit. And that's tapping into the abundant life. Now, I know you can't see those three little arrows, but I want to share something that really I think is exactly where people in Fountain Hills and in the world are today. It says up here that the far left is there are people seeking faith. There's a lot of people that are not sure what even Jesus or the gospel or what faith is all about. They probably think it's more about going to church than it is about having a relationship with God. And some know that it's a relationship with God, but they have no interest in ever coming to a church. And they're just fine with having all faith all by their own. That describes people in our community. People are seeking faith. And I think also, as we think about Fountain Hills, a lot of people have moved here. Who moved here from somewhere else? Everyone, pretty much. There's probably, I think Matt's the only one I know that's been born here, right? So we've all moved here and people are seeking community. So they come to a church, you can worship online, and a lot of people do that, and it's great that you're worshiping online, but it's also a community is formed when we're together in the room, when we serve together, when we take part together, when we pray for each other, when we laugh together. When we fellowship together, people are looking for a community. And that's why oftentimes I say there's a 5-minute rule after church. Talk to someone you haven't talked to for a while before you talk to the regular people that you always meet so people can get to know each other. And then finally, people are seeking purpose. I mean that you can have a lot of fun for a while if your whole life is just about you and what you need and your pleasures. But after a while, it starts to become flat. And I think purpose happens when we can serve others. Purpose happens when we can see God working in other people's lives and in our own life. So that we're saying, if you come to Shepherd of the Hills, you will learn that your life has a purpose because God has called you. God made you. You are His. And He doesn't make mistakes. So how is it that we can grow in this? in this abundant life? Well, investing in your relationship with Christ, that means worship, as you're doing here today. Soul care, which is having a daily prayer, devotions, life-giving activities, things that you would feed your soul, giving of your time and also of your money. Bible study is in small groups, joining Crecile, which is going to be happening this fall. If you want to learn about that, talk to Danny and Gail or any number of people that have gone to Crecile. And I think really letting yourself be known. If you want to get to know people, you got to kind of hang out. And if you just, after every worship service, leave as quick as possible, you know, to get to know some people, to fellowship. How do we grow in the abundant life is to serve. Serve in a ministry team. We're going to be working on how we fill this vision out in the upcoming months. And you'll all have a part, a chance to take part in that. Because this mission, this vision, has to be yours. It's what you want our church to do and what how we want to be and who we want to serve. So you can join an action team, be a part of our worship team. One thing that you've noticed since we came back to communion, we have an altar guild again, and they serve the communion. They change the banners. It'd be great if we could have help with those sorts of things. You know, you can join a serving team, worship team, property, grounds. We'll be having a short-term mission trip, we hope, soon. Or to even go up to some of our mission partners. Now's the time to tap into the abundant life. You know, finding, and that is what I'm describing is this mustard shrub, okay? So the seed has been planted, but how is it going to grow and flourish? It's going to be filled out by all of us being involved in Christ's ministry here at Shepherd of the Hills. The kingdom of God is like a seed. It takes, and Jesus takes our worried and anxious hearts that worry about, are we doing enough? Are we going to get it right? And he puts us to rest. So could we have a serving of patience with that mustard? I was listening to a song, and I just thought, how is it that we share our life, our story with other people? And it's a song by Big Daddy Weave on Christian radio. And I think this is how we share. How does this mission happen? How do we go out from here and share it? And I'm going to read the lyrics of this song, If I Told You My Story. If I told you my story, you would hear hope that wouldn't let go. If I told you my story, you would hear love that never gave up. And if I told you my story, you would hear life, but it wasn't mine. If I should speak, then let it be of the grace that is greater than all my sin. Of when justice was served and where mercy wins, of the kindness of Jesus that draws me in. Oh, to tell you my story is to tell of him. If I told you my story, you would hear victory over the enemy. If I told you my story, you would hear freedom that was won for me. If I told you my story, you would hear life overcome the grave. If I should speak, then let it be of the grace that is greater than all my sin, of when justice was served and where mercy wins, of the kindness of Jesus that draws me in. Oh, to tell you my story is to tell of him. We all have a story to share. We all have a story because Christ has worked in our lives. And that, friends, is encouragement to this world, to the people seeking purpose, community, and faith. You're who Christ is using. You're Christ's missionaries. So let us have a little bit of patience before we see the mustard shrub grow. Let us pray. Jesus, thank you for these seed analogies. Something very, very small and insignificant grows in us and gives us vitality and vibrance and faith and joy. Lord, continue to grow your word in us. Speak truth in us and give to us all that we need so that we can be people of faith and hope, people of mission, people of love. Jesus, thank you. We love you. In your name, amen.